Chapter 3 this morning. I appreciate that song. He certainly is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. He is the lily of the valley. Praise the Lord for Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. And when you find your place, we'll stand if you're physically able to stand and would like to. We'll reverence the reading of the Word of God. Stretch your legs a little bit and read some scripture and give you what the Lord's put on our heart this morning. Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. And look with me in verse number 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Bible says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. He said, Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things." And off reading there, and I'll certainly not preach all of these verses this morning, but we're getting into a section here where we are going to be looking at love. Looking at love. And so you pray with us and for us, Lord, to help us this morning. Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you for letting us be in the house of God once again. It is a privilege and an honor, Lord, to be able to come to the house of God and, Lord, to rally around the things of God for a little while and, Lord, to set aside the things of this world, to assemble ourselves together and celebrate the resurrection, to sing praises unto thee, to be able to give and, Lord, our tithes and our offerings, to be able to fellowship one with another and, Lord, just all the things that we've been allowed to do this morning. They're such an honor, such a privilege, and we thank you for what you have done, Lord, that we could be here this morning and do, Lord, something that would be pleasing in thy sight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as we come to this time of preaching. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word. Lord, you would take it and use it. And Father, I pray that you would, Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray that you would touch every one here this morning. You give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray for that lost soul that may be among us this morning, that, Lord, today would be the day of salvation. They'd be born again, Lord, in the family of God. Lord, I just pray your will would be done, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you recall, last Sunday, we started looking, or we looked at some verses, the first part of this chapter, and dealt with this past Sunday morning on real Christianity. What is real? What is having something that's not, fake? And so, anyways, that's kind of what he's dealt with in the verses leading up to these verses. But here, there's kind of a transition that takes place. And so he goes from really dealing with counterfeit Christianity, which is what we dealt with last Sunday, and then he transitioned, really kind of dealing with the same thing, the same thought process, the same context of really having something real. As a matter of fact, that's kind of the whole theme of the book of 1 John, isn't it? That of knowing. Know that you know. This thing of reality and the fact that all of this that we do and standing for God, living for God, being saved, all of it isn't just something that you feel. Feelings come and go. And thank God there are some feelings in it along the way, but it's more of something that we know. Isn't that right? right? As a matter of fact, he talked about having your heart being assured of these things. That's something that you know, amen? Having your heart being assured isn't what you feel, it's what you know. I know this. And so he's dealt with various different topics. And as a matter of fact, 1 John has kind of been described as a spiral staircase as you read through the book of 1 John, because what he tends to do under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is keep circling back to the same topics over and over and over, the topics of love and obedience and truth. And it's not monotonous because he doesn't just deal with the same thing and say the same things every time. Rather, each time he circles back to that truth and back to that point, he's looking at it from a different point of view. And so, as a matter of fact, again, verse 10 is kind of a transition verse. He transitions from dealing with counterfeit Christianity into looking at love. And so the topic of love has actually already been dealt with. Back in chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, if you recall, he talked about love for the brethren, but the emphasis in chapter 2 was on fellowship. Here, the emphasis on loving the brethren is on relationship. And so it's the same truth, the same topic, but looking at it from a different point of view and a different perspective. And that's kind of the way the book of 1 John is. It's always circling back to the same truths over and over and getting those things, these things, settled in our heart, making sure we know them. Making sure we know. It's about reality and knowing. Amen? And, you know, it's oftentimes in our Christian life that it's not the things we don't know that we get messed up with. It's not the things that we don't already know that we struggle with. It's actually what we do know that we struggle with. Isn't that right? It's the things I know that I should be doing. The things that I know that I shouldn't be doing. The things that I know that I struggle with. It's the truths we already know that we battle with. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter dealt with the same things. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he talked about these things. You go back and read chapter 1 of 1 Peter over and over and over. He uses that phrase, these things, these things, these things. In other words, the things you already know. The things you've already been taught, the things that the truths that are really already there. And then he said, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. See, it's not what we don't know that'll keep us from falling. It's what we do and what we already know. What we already do know. Listen, it's not the unknown, the novelty doctrine, the things, you know, that secret truth that I haven't learned yet, that if I just learn it, you know, it'll you know, bring all of everything together, and then finally, you know, it'll all just kind of come together for me and I'll be all right. Listen, it's what we already know. If we just do what we already know. That's kind of the way 1 John is. It's kind of circling back and always looking at these same truths from a different point of view. Now, again, look in verse 10. So verse 10 is somewhat of a transition verse in the topics because he kind of concludes what he was talking about and then moves into what he's about to deal with. He said, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. And so he's talking about in this, the things he's just talked about, the things he's just dealt with, in these things that I've just talked to you about, listen, it reveals who the children of God are, and it reveals who the children of the devil are. Okay? And this is what he says. It's a very simple truth. The Word of God, really, the greatest truths in life are not complicated. God breaks it down, makes it real simple for us. And I'm glad it's that way. Listen, it's on the bottom shelf. These things are so simple that these little boys here can understand this. They can get this. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. So you know, drawing a line in the sand, you know, the good guys and the bad guys, the children of God and the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So that's a pretty simple truth, isn't it? And I tell you, the world and modern religion sure complicates that thing, and our flesh complicates that thing, and the devil is certainly the author of confusion in that thing, to make all these gray areas, you know, where it's hard to separate, you know, the righteous from the unrighteous, and it's hard to, you know, kind of separate the saved from the lost. But really, God makes it pretty easy and pretty clear and pretty simple that he that doeth righteous is righteous. He that doeth not righteous is not righteous. And that makes it pretty plain. Listen, if you don't live for God and you don't love God and you don't have a heart for the things of God, you're not saved and going to heaven. That's just all it is. Listen, we're breaking our necks, man, trying to get people to be faithful to church and trying to get people to love God, trying to get people to love their Bible and trying to get people to pray and, you know, trying to get people to really have a heart for God. Listen, I can't give anybody a heart for God and you can't either. God's got to do that. It's between them and God. And what a lot of people need is to get born again into the family of God. Amen? Then they'll love God. Then they'll be faithful to God. Then they'll be faithful to things of God. Then they'll want to live for God. Because the Holy Spirit is what does that on the inside of people. You can't create a love. You can't create a change the will of man. God changes the will of man. And listen, as long as someone is dead in trespasses and sins, they're born with they've got the same default setting in their soul that they were born with. And that default setting is sin and self and living for what I want to do and doing what I want to do and doing what I feel like doing. That's the default setting of the fallen nature. And the only thing that will change that default setting is the Holy Spirit of God. And He comes in and He changes that setting, if you will, and gives a spiritual man, gives spiritual life, and makes somebody want to live for God. He doesn't always do it. And you fall because that Adamic nature is still there. But that's why He uses the word doeth, not righteousness. And doeth righteous. Because listen, the grand scheme of their life is that this person lives for God. We're not talking about a snapshot. We're not talking about one fall. We're not talking about David committing adultery. We're not talking about one part of life. We're talking about a man after God's own heart. See, that's the difference. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But he was a man after God's own heart. He got right and he lived for God and he worshiped God. And the majority of his life is, I mean, when we look at David, we look at him as greatest king that ever Israel ever had. Man after God's own heart, even though he committed adultery. And that's the difference, isn't it? The sin is not what defined him. Listen, the man after God's own heart is what defined him. And that's the way it still is now. And God makes that very clear, doesn't He? Listen, these little boys, listen, they know that. Little children can get that. But our flesh and modern religion and the devil, boy, he sure likes to create all these gray areas in our life. Amen? Isn't that right? So that's kind of concluding what he's been dealing with. Man, I started out with a bang this morning. I don't know where all that came from, but there it is. Amen. It's still right, isn't it? Truth just feels good to proclaim, doesn't it? Amen. It feels good to say amen to whenever you're on God's side. Amen. And so he's concluding, he that doeth not righteousness is doeth not righteous, or let's see. Let's just read the verse. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Okay? But then he then introduces the next topic that we're about to get into, and that is neither he that loveth not his brother. So we're going to begin looking at love now in these next several verses. I'll certainly not preach all this morning, but this is going to be kind of where we're at for at least the next few messages, is looking at love. And so, again, this is a topic that's already been dealt with in chapter 2. It's dealt with in regarding fellowship. But here it's dealing with relationship. Because when the Holy Spirit comes on the inside and someone gets saved. Now, listen, again, just as doing righteousness or not doing righteousness manifests the children of God and manifests the children of the devil. Listen, loving the brethren or not loving the brethren manifests the children of God and the children of the devil too. It's tied to the same truth that this is manifesting who and what we are, every one of us. It is manifesting what I am, manifesting who you are, based on, in other words, who you love, who you connect with, who you run to, who you jee-haw with, who you line up with, who you're most comfortable around. That crowd tells everything you need to know about who you are. You want to know why the demoniac of Gadara was hanging out in the graveyard? Because dead people hang around dead things. When there's no spiritual life on the inside, your spirit's on the inside, well, you're going to gravitate towards those people who are also spiritually dead on the inside. Listen, I got friends who I love dearly who are not exactly like I am, exactly like you are. Amen? And we've got, there's some of them I've gone round and round, we've gone round and round and round about different scriptures and the way we see it. And a lot of that, you know, Billy Mitchell, you talk about that's the man and the preacher, you know, that's the man. God's going to straighten all of us out on some things. Isn't that right? Except for me, because I've got it all right. That's how we all feel, isn't that right? We all believe we're the one that's not got to be straightened out. But God's going to straighten all of us out on something. And there's some people, they don't believe exactly like I believe or you believe. But listen, the difference is just because they're not exactly the same and cookie cutter, listen, they love God. Listen, they live for God. They want to do what's right. And they're sincere in their love for God. They're not living out in sin, promoting wickedness. They don't promote wickedness in my life. And listen, that connection is there. That bearing witness of the spirits is there. Amen? And so I'm not saying that you only hang out with people that are just exactly like me or just exactly like you. Whatever, listen. But listen, there is a difference in whenever there's a spiritual life on the inside, that spiritual life gravitates towards other spiritual life. On the flip side, spiritual death gravitates towards other spiritual death. It's amazing how so many people claim they love God and say they're saved. And maybe they even believe they're saved and going to heaven, but they are so uncomfortable around other people who are actually saved and going to heaven. I mean, and maybe they're not uncomfortable where they just like hate being around them. But man, the people whose life revolves around the Word of God and the things of God, the truth, I mean, they just got nothing in common with them. It's not that they hate them. It's not that they don't love them. They just don't really have anything in common. They've got more in common with that crowd down at the ball field. I mean, that's who they really click with. That's who they really go along with. They got more in common with that crowd out in the workplace and with that crowd out in the world. I mean, that's who they really love. That's who they really hang out with. That's who their personality really clicks with. That's who they really gravitate with. And, you know, the church people, I mean, those saved people, I mean, I love them and they're a big part of my life, but I just don't really have that much in common with them. There's something bad wrong with that. Because the thing that God's people have in common with one another, if they're all saved, is the most important thing that you could ever have in common with somebody. No, you may not like the same color. You may not all fix your hair the same. You may not all paint your house the same color. You may not all like the same furniture and do all those same things like that. But listen, the most important commonality and common denominator in all of us is the Holy Spirit of God. And there's just something about being around saved people who love the Lord and they're like minded and of like faith, going the same direction. There's just something about being around people like that, and you start gravitating towards that because that default setting gets changed, you know. I'll tell you, one of the biggest differences in my life when I got saved was the places that I wanted to go. It wasn't anything I was trying to do. It's just what I was gravitating towards. I can't explain it outside of just the Holy Spirit, because I tried to change that about myself for 19 years. Listen, I knew the things that I loved, and I knew the things that I gravitated towards, and I knew the people that I hung out with, and I knew the music that I listened to, and I knew all that stuff. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wicked. I knew it was evidence that I was lost without God. Listen, I knew the lack of desire for the Word of God, and the lack of desire to please God. Listen, I knew deep in my heart, if I just got honest with myself, listen, I knew that it was evidence that I was missing something in my life. I knew that. And so what do you think I did? I tried to change it. That sounds like works to me, don't it, you? That's what everybody's trying to do. They're going on their works because they know they're lacking something. The Bible makes it clear, amen, but then the author of confusion comes on the inside and makes all these, you know, makes them weigh out their bad and their good, and, you know, make all these justifications for themselves, but they know they're missing something, amen. And so because their desires are in a certain place, they always gravitate back to that. That's why I always made the decision every Sunday that I was going to live for God that week. I mean, you come to church, and I mean, you don't really want to be there. You're there because you just kind of need to be, or, you know, you're a kid, and so you're obligated, and you're drugged, you know, you're drugged to church, and, you know, whatever, and you know somebody's going to be calling you if you don't, or, you know, whatever. I mean, you're raised in church, and you just kind of got to be there. But, you know, if you just be honest, it's not really where you want to be. You'd rather be out there. That's why I say, you know, I talk about the guys at the jail, you know, things you hear in the jail that you never hear in church, you know. One guy says to the other, man, I can't wait till next week, you know. And you never hear that in church, you know. It's always, I can't wait to go eat, or I can't wait to do this, or, you know what I'm saying? And that's the way a lot of people are. I mean, in your heart, if you just be honest, it's not really where you want to be, because that setting's never been changed. And you're still gravitating towards the old life and gravitate. I mean, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and will yourself to commit some different actions every now and then, but at the end of the day, your heart is set on something else. Your heart's set on a different crowd, because you just don't really have that much in common with this crowd. You just don't have that much in common with God's people. I mean, you know, when it's Bible conference time, you know, it's just Bible conference. You know, it's just what we do. It's just what the church does. I mean, we've been doing it for over 40 years, so it's just what we do. Every year we do it. We got to do Bible conference. We can't not do Bible conference. It's just what we do. And it doesn't fire you up thinking about all the preachers and their families that are coming around, and all the fellowship and all the people that are going to be traveling and being with God's people, you know, and fellowshipping with God's people and hearing the preaching and fellowshipping with these preachers and rubbing shoulders with God. That doesn't fire you. You don't care anything about that. You just kind of do it because that's what we do. But I tell you what does fire you up, that crowd out there. Getting together with one of your buddies that doesn't even go to a church at all, let alone a good church, doesn't carry a King James Bible, doesn't care anything about the things of God, doesn't listen to the right kind of music or promote that in your life, doesn't listen to the right kind of things and do the right kind of things and doesn't promote it in your life. But listen, your personality, you just click so good, you got the same sense of humor, and so that fires you up, being with those friends. But being with all these people around here, the brethren, there's just no particular love there. And according to this Bible, that tells you everything you need to know about yourself and about the saved and the lost. This book, 1 John, is all about knowing. And what's in somebody's heart and who they run with and the way they live their life, that tells you everything you need to know about where they are with God. Talk is so cheap. And by the way, let me just say this. What we do here on Sunday morning for 2 hours is mighty cheap too. Anybody can prop up a profession for 2 hours on Sunday morning and fake it for 2 hours. Anybody can do that. Isn't that right? You say, well, I mean, if it wasn't real, they wouldn't be. If it wasn't real, well, listen, let me tell you something. There ain't nothing real in what them Catholics do, professing them popes, but yet them people do it day in and day out, week after week. Isn't that right? Talk is cheap, and a lot of those things are cheap. But listen, he's dealing with what is on the inside here. Amen. Well, I've gotten mighty caught up here, but here it is. Praise God. I'm saying the Bible makes it very clear. And he's looking at love. There ain't no way I'm going to get through this message. But anyways, I'll just give you a little bit more, and then we'll, you know, this probably is the message this morning. Mind the Holy Spirit. I think this is the message. Amen? See, this whole thing, looking at love, looking at who and what we were all, this is an important message in our day, because people, because of social media and the internet, people have built their lives up to be so much and then can't even live up to what they built up their own life up to. Isn't that right? I mean, there's so much emphasis on putting on what we really are, and so much emphasis put on what we're perceived to be. But you know, whenever you get down to the brass tacks of the Word of God, as complicated as this life is now, with the dawning of the age of social media and internet and all the things that we're saying, artificial intelligence now, AI now, and all these things, when you get down to just the brass tacks of what's going to stand when all this other stuff falls, social media's not going to last forever. The internet's not going to last forever. Amen. All these things are not going to last forever. They are going to fall. These elements are going to melt with a fervent heat, the Bible says. Amen. Listen, all this is going to collapse. All this is going to fall. And what man has built himself up to be, what you've built yourself up to be, it's going to fall before God one of these days. And when you get down to the brass tacks of just what life really is, God makes it mighty clear. He makes it mighty evident. He makes it mighty simple that, listen, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. I was going to say this a minute ago and I got a little sidetracked. What changed about me when I got saved was the places and the people I gravitated to. And I didn't try to do any of it. It was the Holy Spirit that did it. Because I tried to do it for 19 years. Because I knew I needed a change. I knew it was evidence that I was missing something. I knew that. If I would just be honest, I knew that. But when I got honest with God and God saved me and the Holy Spirit came on inside, suddenly I started kind of like gravitating towards preachers. I started kind of just gravitating towards church. Started kind of gravitating towards, you know, meetings. And it just, there was just a whole new life in it that was never there before. It was never like, I've got to go. That's right. I mean, I get off work. I go work and I get off work. And that, by the way, this is when I just got saved. I wasn't a preacher. I mean, I wasn't going to these meetings to preach. I was going just to hear, man, just to sit. Amen. Because that's where I wanted to be. Amen. I'll never forget the first time I ever heard Billy Goolsby preach in my life. I didn't even know who Billy Goolsby was. But I worked a whole day of work. I was working in Tupelo at the time. And I'd worked a full day of work and got off at the end of work and I had heard there was a meeting going on up at Hurricane. Amen. And I didn't know who the preachers were. I mean, I knew who Brother Ronnie was and he was there. But these preachers weren't heroes to me at the time. I didn't know who any of them were. I just heard there was a meeting going on and I just got to where I really liked preaching. I just got saved and it was Wednesday night and we had joint fellowship over here with the Bible conference and we came over and I remember hearing Billy Mitchell preach that night and I thought, man, that's like the greatest preach I ever heard. I like that. I like that a lot. Amen. And that was the first time, man, I'd ever really heard. I mean, I know we came every year, but that was the first time I really heard, you know. And I remember telling Miss Sharon and Brother Johnny after the service, I said, man, I like that preaching. Amen. And she said, oh yeah, Brother Mitchell, he's a blessing. And so, I mean, I was liking it, and I got to gravitating towards all that. And then I heard there was a meeting going on up at Hurricane. And I'd worked a full day's work with a long drive home. But what did I do? I went the other direction. I went further from home to go sit at a meeting. I wasn't going to preach. It wasn't about me. Nobody even knew who I was. Nobody even hardly talked to me. Amen. I just came in, slipped in, sat down on the preaching, and Brother Ronnie Sutton and Brother Billy Goolsby preached that night. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I liked it. I got to liking being around that. Hey, listen, before that point, we'd get in out of church, and I was getting out of there. Service was over. I walked by the preacher, shook his hand, hugged his neck, great message, said what everybody else says, you know, and then out I went, back to life. Back to real life. I didn't want to hang around there. I mean, it wasn't like I hated the place. It wasn't like I hated those people, but there was just nothing, you know, there's no connection there, you know. But boy, something changed when I got saved. Next thing you know, I'm hanging around church all the time. And then I'm going whenever it's not church time. Hanging out at the preacher's house. Hanging out with the preacher's family. Hanging out with other church people. That's just, man, there were, you know, and what's amazing too, when you first get saved, you think everybody's as fired up as you are. You think everybody's as excited as you are. You think it's just as good and real and fresh as what it is for you right then. It takes you a little bit to realize that you got to get backslid to get in line with everybody else. But buddy, whenever you're new and it's fresh and you're wet behind the ears, boy, you just think everybody loves God and this is just the greatest thing that's ever happened. And why would anybody not want to be saved? And there's new life in church and new life in your spiritual life. And the Bible's talking to you and God's talking to you and you're hearing from God in your prayer life and there's just such a difference made. And I tell you, there comes a love for the brethren in your life. And it's not just this commitment of obligation that, well, the Bible says it, so I guess I got to do it. Bible says I'm supposed to love the brethren, so I guess I better love the brethren. That's not it at all. You know, if that's all the Christian life is to you, is just some obligation that, well, this is what I got to do because the Bible says I got to do it. Listen, I know there's things we battle with the flesh, and our flesh doesn't always feel like doing everything. I understand that. But again, we're talking about the manifestation of life, like the grand overall scheme. Listen, that's not the way Christian life is at all, is it? God puts that love for the brethren on the inside. And things change. And that old crowd, it's just not your crowd anymore. I've said this many times that, you know, it wasn't, you know, preachers talk about, you know, getting away from that old crowd. It wasn't so much that I had to leave them as much as they left me. We weren't going the same direction anymore. We didn't like the same things anymore. Just something just changed. You know what the Bible calls it? The Bible calls it becoming a new creature in Christ. Not even the same person anymore. And so when you're not the same person, you don't have the same people. It's not that you don't love them. It's not that you don't want to see them get saved. I tell you, I had more of a burden for that crowd than I ever did in my life. I wanted to see them get saved, but they just weren't my crowd anymore. Isn't that right? I'll tell you something, I didn't mean to get hung up on this verse right here. I got a whole outline I could preach to you this morning. But this is the message right here. See, being saved, being lost really is simple. Our flesh complicates it. The devil is the author of confusion. He complicates it. The world, modern religion complicates this whole thing. But at the end of the day, you're saved or you're lost. And it's manifested in what this verse says right here. All you need is one verse. I know we preach against it a lot of times, but really all you need is one verse in its context. And in its context, in just saying what God is saying here, that it is manifested and made known who and what somebody is in their heart based on what they do. If they do righteousness, then it's obvious they're of God. If they do not righteousness, if they just don't live for righteousness, maybe you can take a snapshot of them and you can say, well, they've done some good things. They've done some good deeds. But their life is not about righteousness. Well, the Bible says that they're not of God. And then on the other side, neither he that loveth his brother. I'll never understand how someone can be saved and go into heaven and God's crowd not be their crowd. I'll never understand that. And by the way, God will never understand it either. Because it just doesn't line up with His Word. It's just not the reality. Hey, I don't have any idea. I didn't even get through my introduction this morning. I'm just minding the Holy Spirit this morning. And I don't know who in the world this is for, but it's for somebody. Because the Holy Spirit's got me parked right here. And God's not wanting some big, elaborate message and outline and things you've never heard and things that you've, something new. Oh, no. I tell you what God's telling us this morning. He's telling us something very simple. That you're saved or you're lost. And you know it. You know it. Because it's manifested. Right there in that verse, it is manifested. It's made known. It's made known by what you do, by the righteousness or lack thereof in your life, what you love. And it's manifested by who your crowd is. I wonder, are you saved this morning? Are you saved? You know, this verse is also important for God's people too. Lest we get confused in these last days. These last days are days of deception. And listen, don't be deceived by what's going on in this contemporary stuff and all that. Listen, don't be deceived by that. The Bible makes it very clear. Listen, if it doesn't promote righteousness and holiness, and if it doesn't change people's lives and make them misfits in this world, God's not in it. God's not in it. And I didn't say that. That's just what the Bible says. That's why God's people, I know there's pressures from society and pressures from our flesh, and the devil is tempting. There's temptations on every hand. I understand that. And sometimes we fall to them. But by and large, God's people, they don't go along with the fads of the world, the things of the world. They don't do that. We get pressured and we fall, and we get tempted and we fall. We kind of gravitate, you know, get pulled into some things that you know, that ultimately, you know, we get right about. We wish we'd have never done. We wish we'd have never wore. We wish we'd have never said. We wish we'd have never thought. I understand that, but listen, by and large, God's people, they're not hooked up with this world. We're not driven with the fads of this world and driven by what the world is doing and driven by what the world is promoting. We're not doing that. Because the Holy Spirit changes us so much. When you get saved, something on the inside happens that's too real to deny and too real to, you know, to you know what I'm saying? It's just too real. It's too real to have the Holy Spirit on the inside and then be the one that doeth not righteousness. It's too real when the Holy Spirit's on the inside and there's a new life there to not love the brethren. Because there's a spiritual connection there that's stronger than blood, and it's stronger than friendship, and it's stronger than a personality connection. It's stronger than you know, a sense of humor, you know, having the same. It's stronger than that. Because the Holy Spirit makes such a difference in our life. You know, in these things, it manifests who and what. Everybody is. You know, that's what we all ought to be thinking about this morning. Is not you know, what does everybody think about me? Am I keeping up appearances? You know, am I doing just enough? What we all ought to be examining is, what am I? Who and what am I? In these things are manifest the children of God and the children of the devil. And what's it manifest? When you evaluate your life, I'm not talking about a snapshot, and I'm not talking about the fact that you're sitting on a chair in church this morning. This is the snapshot right here. I'm talking about who you are. Does it manifest and make known to you and before God that you're a child of God? Or does it manifest and make known that you really don't have anything real? If you just be honest, you're a child of the devil. I wonder, where are you with God this morning? In these things are manifested the children of God and the children of the devil. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. I thank you for your word, for helping us with it. Lord, I've just tried to mind you this morning. And Lord, I just try to do your will, say what you'd have me to say. And Lord, I believe this is the message this morning. I believe, no doubt. I don't know who it is, who it might be, but Lord, no doubt you're calling out to somebody. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd make it very real, make it very clear. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts this morning. Help us all, Lord, to evaluate ourselves. Lord, if we're the children of God or the children of the devil. Lord, you've told us in other verses, Lord, to examine ourselves, see if we be in the faith. Lord, no doubt somebody here this morning is lost without God and needs to be saved. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that work within our hearts that only you can do. Lord, it's 100% between us and you. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would convict that sinner. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to all the hearts of your people. And Lord, your will would be done in all of our lives. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's all.